So Indra seems to be like a baddie. That's a nice
Real
word.
baddie.
So he always is a person who does anti-devotional things, and then he has to be corrected. So how do we maintain a reverential attitude? Is he a great person? See, every sk yeah.
I can just add, like, after he took the horse of Brihmaraj, you know, when Lord Brahma came and he said, actually, Indra is good and, you know, you can't kill him and stuff. So they were glorifying him. They're saying, you're just like Indra. So that's why.
Okay. So Indra is still glorified sometimes after he does some wrong also. Why is that? So I would say that there are two, okay, there are two different aspects to it. First is that the Bhagavatam is spoken to a particular audience, and all the stories within that are told from that audience context. What that means is the Bhagavatam is essentially talking about taking people from dharma to paradharma. So if the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is not a sinful person at all. It doesn't have to tell you to give up sinful activities. It says that give up kaitava dharma. That means give up dharma, artha, kama, moksha and practice parabhakti. So in every particular book there is a particular purpose. And everything will be presented in that book in the light of that purpose. So because the Bhagavatam's essential message is to raise people from dharma to paradharma, so then those who have practiced dharma, even attained perfection in dharma, how even they are not good enough. How, that will be demonstrated by showing how those who are practicing the paradharma are higher than them. So Indra represents the person who practices dharma very well, and that's how he attains the post of Indra. So the stress of the Bhagavatam is rise from dharma to paradharma. And that's why Indra becomes the example to repeatedly illustrate the inadequacy of just practicing dharma without coming to paradharma. If you look at the Rig Veda, there the purpose is to inspire people to practice dharma, artha, kama. The Upanishads talk about moksha. The Rig Veda, well, there's one Western scholar, he wrote that the Rig Veda is the most materialistic religious book I have ever read. Now, what do you mean by materialistic religious book? No, not necessarily contradictory. What he says is that this book is filled with how to get material gains by practicing religion. Oh, you want a child, you want a harvest, you want this, you want that, do this, do this, do this. So that's what the purpose of the Rig Veda is that. And in the Rig Veda, actually there are more hymns to Indra than to even to Vishnu. Because in that context, the goal of that book is to inspire people who are materialistic to become religiously materialistic. They are not so mature that they can become devotees, the spiritualists. So for that purpose, then their model of success is Indra. And so Indra will be glorified for them. So in that book, we will not have much glorification of Vishnu. So each book has its context and its purpose. So when we see it in the light of that purpose, now the Bhagavatam is spoken to an audience who already is steeped in Vedic knowledge. And in that sense, they already have an awareness of Indra's greatness. So for them, it serves a constructive purpose that Indra is, that even the person who is this great is not great enough. You have to rise higher. But when we don't study the Vedas at all, we just come directly to the Bhagavatam, then Indra almost becomes like a buffoon, you know, a person who keeps committing mistakes. And he has to be corrected and he never seems to learn. It's not like that. He's a very exalted person. And that's why there are passages, you know, when Prithu Maharaj is being told, don't punish Indra. You know, he's a great person. Even in the Mahabharata, Indra is very greatly glorified. And even where is this? Yeah, in the prayers that, or verses that Arjuna says when he's remembering Krishna, after Krishna has departed, therefore he says, so there he says that it is by Krishna's mercy that I was able to go to heaven in this body and I was able to sit on the same throne as Indra. So he considers that a great honor. If Indra is simply a materialist, if you think like that, then why would Arjuna, who is a pure devotee, consider that an honor? But he knew Indra is a great person, and when Arjuna went to heaven, he got to sit. No mortal in this body gets to get to heaven, and when he goes to heaven, at least he has to offer some prayers and offer some obeisances. But to get on that, sit on that same asana, so he said, this is Krishna's mercy on me. So these are some sections, even the Bhagavatam, where we can see that Indra's position is also recognized.
Yeah. You know, there's a, when there's a Brahma,